The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, May 5th through Sunday, May 11th, 2025. The commentary for May was written by Neil Kumar Raman, who serves as rector of Grace Church, Haddonfield, New Jersey. He has a love for teaching, church history, and the liturgy. He is an avid reader, a double bassist, and loves to cook, especially South Indian food. Now, the commentary for Monday, May 5th, begins as follows. It's from the Psalm 9, verses 1 through 2. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing to your name, O Most High. Here's the commentary. Over the last few months, I have had the privilege of watching a group of children embrace prayer through song. The parish I serve has a relatively new chorister program. The choristers gather each week to learn, sing, pray, and have fun. Once a month, they lead a congregation in evensong, sung evening prayer. The choristers are given the opportunity to be authentically childlike as they learn to lead worship for the people of God. The liturgy is not as solemn as others I have experienced, but the children lead us in prayer, steeped in both an emerging reverence and overflowing joy. In each of these liturgies, I have been taught anew about bringing my whole self to worship the Lord with songs of joy and gladness. And now I'm going to read the full psalm, number 9. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turned back, they stumbled and perished before you. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemies have vanished in everlasting ruins. Their cities you have rooted out. The very memory of them has perished. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with equity. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the peoples. For he who avenges blood is mindful of them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Be gracious to me, O Lord. See what I suffer from those who hate me. You are the one who lifts me up from the gates of death, so that I may recount all your praises. And in the gates of daughter Zion, rejoice in your deliverance. The nations have sunk in the pit that they made. In the net that they hid has their own foot been caught. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands. The wicked shall depart to Sheol, all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, nor the hope of the poor perish forever. Rise up, O Lord. Do not let mortals prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are only human. And the moving forward question for this first day of the week, Monday, May 5th, moving forward, do you bring your whole self to worship? What can you do to engage in worship with songs of joy and gladness in your heart and on your lips? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, May 6th, that begins with a passage from the first letter of John, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. God loves us. It is one of the most basic Sunday school assertions. But it is also one of the hardest things to really believe. We are prone to put conditions on that simple statement. We might say, God loves me, but, or God loves me, and so I must. We put conditions on God's immense gift of love because it makes it easier to comprehend. Instead of allowing that love to transform our vision of the world, we attempt to tame it. God loves us. God's love has redeemed us, and that love is transforming us, and that is enough. And now I'm going to read from the letter of John, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this, His love is not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent His Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the one that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because He first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars, for those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from Him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. And the moving forward statement for this Tuesday is, did you know that this publication I'm reading from, one of the ways that Forward Movement expresses God's love is through donating thousands of copies of this magazine, Forward Day by Day, to nursing homes, hospitals, and prisons. You can support this ministry if you would like. You can also get a copy for yourself. And all you have to do is go to the website, forwardmovement.org. Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, May 7th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 42. At daybreak he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowds were looking for him, and when they reached him, they wanted to prevent him from leaving them. Sabbath is one of the most difficult spiritual practices. It is also one of the most important ones. The technologies that help us do so much also make it difficult to disconnect and put some distance between ourselves and our work. So often we convince ourselves that we just don't have the time to step back from our list of tasks to rest and dwell in the presence of God. This passage, like so many others in the Gospels, makes it clear that Jesus saw regular time for rest as an essential part of being human. Over the course of his 3 years of preaching, teaching, and healing, Jesus regularly went out into the desert to rest. The description of an interrupted Sabbath in today's passage is comforting to me. It reminds me that even our Lord faced interruptions in his attempts to rest. The lesson for me is that Jesus never gives up on the practice. He keeps going out to deserted places to make time for rest. And now I'm going to read the full gospel for this Wednesday from Luke chapter 4, verses 38 through 44. After leaving the synagogue, he entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him about her. Then he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Immediately, she got up and began to serve them. As the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various kinds of diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on each of them and cured them. Demons also came out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Messiah. At daybreak he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowds were looking for him. And when they reached him, they wanted to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he continued proclaiming the message in the synagogues of Judea. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, how will you practice the spiritual discipline of Sabbath this month? The commentary for Thursday, May 8th, the day on which we celebrate Julian of Norwich, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 10b to 11. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. My grandfather John was an avid fisherman and sailor. He grew up surrounded by lakes and moved to Long Island as an adult. Boats and the culture that surrounds them were constants in his life. When the weather allowed, he spent much of his free time sailing on the Great South Bay or making his way up and down the Conequot River. When he wasn't out sailing or fishing, he built model boats, studied the art of sailing, and did maintenance on his own boat. While he may have been employed as an engineer, he was first and foremost a sailor. It took him years of work to become the sailor he was. Simon spent his whole life learning to be a fisherman before he met Jesus. He spent the rest of his life learning to live into his new vocation. Jesus seeks each of us out. He calls each of us by name, and we are continually, and irresistibly transformed. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for this Thursday from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken in. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and they followed him. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, when Jesus calls you by name, what is he saying? And are you listening? Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, May 9th. It's the day on which we commemorate St. Gregory of Nazianzus. It begins with a passage from the second letter of John, chapter 12. "Although I have much to write you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. We are called to be together. We are called to be in community rather than in isolation. In Scripture and through the Holy Spirit, Jesus continually calls us out of ourselves and into communities of faith. These communities are not always easy. We often hurt one another. We betray, grandstand, and belittle. We get caught up in our differences, forgetting that each of us is necessary for the common life we share in Jesus. Today, the Church commemorates Gregory of Nazianzus. He is remembered as a theologian, but he was no stranger to the difficulties of Christian community. His writings are not academic exercises. They are a means of helping us see the fullness of the God that we worship. They are a means of helping us understand the God who chose to be with us face to face and in Jesus to join the human community. Gregory invites us into a fuller relationship with Jesus and one another so that our joy might be complete." And now I'm going to read from the second letter of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. "The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I was overjoyed to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we have been commanded by the Father. But now, dear lady, I ask you, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning, let us love one another. And this love that we walk according to his commandments, this is the commandment, just as you have heard it from the beginning. You must walk in it. Many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Be on your guard so that you do not lose what we have worked for. but may receive a full reward. Everyone who does not abide in the teaching of Christ, but goes beyond it, does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Do not receive into the house or welcome anyone who comes to you and does not bring this teaching. For to welcome is to participate in the evil deeds of such a person. Although I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk with you face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister send you their greetings. And the moving forward suggestion for this day, and a question as well, is first of all to research the writings of Gregory of Nazianzus, someone you may not be too familiar with. What do they say to you about the importance of community? The commentary for Saturday, May 10th, begins with a passage from the third letter of John, verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. I am the person and the follower of Jesus that I am today because I was mentored in the faith. At each stage of my life, I have had mentors who have shown me what it is to be a faithful priest, a faithful spouse, and most importantly, a faithful disciple of Jesus. One of my earliest mentors in the faith was my grandmother, Margaret. She encouraged me to read the Bible and would talk with me about Scripture and the way in which she and my grandfather lived out their lives as disciples. I was introduced to healing ministry through her participation in an ecumenical order devoted to bringing the healing message of Jesus to a world in need. In things both great and small, she modeled a quiet yet forceful life, lived in response to the resurrection of our Lord. I am a disciple because I was shown the way to follow Jesus in gentle love. And now I'm going to read from this full letter of John, the third letter of John, verses 1 through 15. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, just as it is well with your soul. I was overjoyed when some of the friends arrived and testified to your faithfulness to the truth, namely how you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for your friends. Even though they are strangers to you, they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on in a manner worthy of God. For they began their journey for the sake of Christ, accepting no support from non-believers. Therefore, we ought to support such people, so that we may become co-workers in the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing and spreading false charges against us. And not content with those charges, he refuses to welcome the friends and even prevents those who want to do so and expels them from the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Everyone has testified favorably about Demetrius, and so has the truth itself. We also testify for him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. Instead, I hope to see you soon, and we will talk together face to face. Peace to you. The friends send you their greetings. Greet the friends there, each by name. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, who are the mentors in your life who have shaped your faith? To whom are you a mentor and a guide? Now, as we near the end of this program and the end of this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, May 11th, the fourth Sunday of Easter. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Really listening is deceptively difficult. The scene of a group of teenagers, or really people of any age, lost in their own minds, nodding along in the middle of a lecture or conversation, but not really hearing any of it, has risen to the level of overused movie cliche for a reason. Our world is filled with conversations that are actually no more than two people giving prepared monologues in turns. True listening requires both serious attention and concerted effort. To really listen, we need to get out of our own heads. We need to set aside thinking through what we have planned later. Really listening asks us to put aside what we want to say and what we think should be said so that we can listen to what's actually being said. Relationships are only possible with true listening, and our relationship with God is no different. We know the Lord's voice amid the noise of our world. The difficult part is finding the time to sit in stillness and listen. And now I'll read from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe me, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." And the moving forward statement and question for this day is, set a timer for 5 minutes of silence, and then sit there quietly and listen for God's voice. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. And knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time. Thank you.